Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
To a new way, you'll leave this new direction. For I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy. For this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Hallelujah. Praise you. Hallelujah. Mighty, mighty Lord. Mighty, mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Well, shalom, shalom, my brother and my sister. Welcome to the Lord's Hour, your host, brother in Christ, brother L.V. Zapata. Praise you, Lord. Sad, and I'm very sad. I'm very sad today. I'm very sad. I'll be honest. Thank you, Lord. I'm praying. But I feel so broken by the many people that have taken the vaccine, the COVID-19 vaccine, and it is just so sad that so many Christians have taken it, my brother and sister. I am honest with you. My heart is just so broken for those brothers and sisters that are taking the vaccine, and they're finding out now that it was a mistake. Once they took it, they find out it's a mistake. People, after they taken the vaccine, had asked me to intercede for them, to pray. And wow, my brother and sister, you know, you feel like we could have done something else for them or more. I don't know. But we did warn people. We did give them the word. My brother and sister, praise you, Lord. Just had a sister write to me on Facebook that she took the vaccine, and, man, she wants the other vaccine that can remove that vaccine she took. But I don't know if that other vaccine is yet available, my brother and sister. And then, you know, you always want to give people hope in the Lord. And I'm telling the sister just to cry out to the Lord, to pray and cry out. Because this is hard. This is difficult. My brother and sister, because many are being deceived. And again, we go back to Matthew 24 when the disciple came to Jesus in the Mount of Olives, and they asked him, what will be the sign of his coming? You know? And he said, be ye not deceived. Wow. The reality of the word, it is there. Someone is requesting, Sister Renee requesting prayer for missionary, 229 missionary that are sentenced to be slaughtered today in Afghanistan. 229. My Lord, my God. May God have mercy on these missionaries. But again, I believe the Lord taking them home is the best thing for them, because if they stay around, they may take the vaccine. Okay, so at this moment, going home to being with the Lord is the best thing that can happen to anyone, my brother and sister. We don't desire for people to die, but people taking the vaccine, it is just terrible. It's a bigger mistake in people's lives. Shalom, Sister Erica. Nice to see you, Brother Joseph, the Lord's servant, Brother Strada, David, Sister Consuelo. Shalom to each and one of you, Brother Ben. Each and one of you, praise your Lord. Yes, we are praying for one another. As the Bible says, for sure, Ezekiel 37. Let's go there to these dead bones. And by faith, we have to believe the guy is going to do something with this dead bone humanity today, so that by seeing, they're becoming dead. The bones are becoming dead. The nanotechnology and the vaccine is eating them away, and they're becoming dead by the hour, by the day. And God asked the prophet whether they will live, and that's the question that many people have today. It's many people. And of course, we're not going to lose hope, okay? But my brother and sister, we wanted to see multitude come to the Lord. You know, we've been planning for all this. And we're seeing multitude not coming to the Lord by going to the other side. That is terrible, my brother and sister. Ezekiel 38:37 says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. This is the only way to walk, and this is the only way to live. You need to have the hand of the Lord on you. And the right hand of the Lord is Jesus Christ. Remember that. Keep that in mind, please. Hallelujah. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out. He needs to carry us out and in. Out and in. Make sure that hand of God is on you. In and out. Don't take a chance, because when we're not praying, fasting, asking the Lord to guide us and lead us, my brother and sister, there are other dirty hands up there. Okay? You want the hand of the Lord, not the dirty hand of many people or the dirty hand of many demons. Remember that. Praise your Lord. Carry me out in the spirit of the Lord. That's the only spirit that you can trust and that you want to be carried by. You want to be carried by the Holy Spirit, okay? There are many spirits in the world, Paul said. Okay, be careful. Make sure it's the Holy Spirit. And set me down in the midst of the body, which was full of bones. Notice how God, when he take a hold of our lives, we may be in the middle of their bones, and that's where we are today, my brother and sister. We are in the middle of a world that is dying, where 60% of the people are taking the coronavirus vaccine, including ministers and pastors. And in the days after taking the vaccine, they totally regret doing so. They begin to lose something that they have for a long time, that they love so much, and they begin to lose their presence in their life. And they're like, what? Huh? And they pray. I've seen people confessing the Lord before they got vaccinated and talking about his mercy on their lives. And after they get vaccinated, it's like they don't believe in God anymore. This is incredible how people are being changed dramatically. And that's what Belgium and the elite were looking for by having people vaccinated, because there's an ingredient in the vaccine that goes to your brain and remove your belief in God. And every day after you are vaccinated, your belief in God is being removed little by little, little by little. It's like having something eating your brain, because they know that there is a part of in your brain that when you believe in God, that part of your brain, to your brain, God is real. He is there, and he communicate with us. And they want to target that specific area of your brain. And they put that ingredient in the coronavirus vaccine. So when people are vaccinated, it goes into the blood and immediately runs to your brain, your heart, all your body. And it begins to operate in you slowly. You know, they want to make the person in the first day, first week, feel like, you know, but your body knows when something is in you that is not supposed to be there. And most of the people get headaches. They are dizzy. A lot of people vomit, and this side effect right away. And then when you go to the doctor or emergency and you tell them the way you feel, oh, no, that's okay. Those are the minor side effects that you get after being vaccinated. It is terrible. Now, if you told people last year in 2020 that the FDA will approve this vaccine that they came out with so quickly, a lot of the doctors and a lot of the professionals and the people in America and around the world will say, you are crazy. This vaccine will never be approved. Neither Pfizer, Moderna, or Johnson & Johnson will never be approved by the FDA. You're out of your mind. Especially if I say it on the Lord's Prayer, you don't know what you're talking about, young man. You come from another island and you want to tell us how it is? No, the FDA will not approve this vaccine. And even if we say, if the Lord shows and we say, we had a dream, the Lord showed me, it will be approved by the FDA, and there it is. They just started with Pfizer, next with Moderna, then Johnson & Johnson. My brothers and sisters, the FDA follow other guidelines. It takes them, their guideline would not, means that they will not approve those vaccine makes so quickly. They don't understand that they're dealing with the same people. Obama is behind Biden's controlling and directing all the move of this vaccine. But now the mistake is they're going after our children in our school system. We need to pray. That is a mistake. Because if the bride of Christ cry out to God to protect our children and to bring his judgment, they're going to see so much judgment they never thought possible. My brother and sister, they have no idea what is about to unfold upon their lives. They have no idea. Listen to this prophecy and see that the Lord is not overlooking anything. God is allowing certain things, but nothing is being overlooked by God. Listen to his words. I'll be back.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me today on my YouTube channel. Today is August the 24th of 2021. I'd like to bring another word to you from the Lord this morning that I hope will encourage you and cause you to keep your eyes upon him and to be trusting him through these times that we are living in. We can look at the circumstances around us and wonder about the changes we see taking place in our world. But these things that are taking place are no surprise to the Lord. He knows all, he sees all, and in fact, he knew these things would take place, and he has always encouraged us to put our trust in him and not in our circumstances, so that we are able to continue on with his peace that passes all understanding. Today I'd like to share a word with you the Lord put on my heart to release to you this morning. It is one that refers to our children, our wayward children, those who were brought up in the faith and yet wandered away. But it extends beyond that to every man, woman, and child, because God's heart is to redeem the lost, to make known his wonders to everyone, and his heart is that none should perish. So if you have wayward children and praying for them, for their salvation, for their return back to the Lord, be encouraged that the Lord is hearing and answering your prayers. And if you've been discouraged, take hope because God is on the move. And sometimes the problem is just with us not fully understanding what the Lord is doing and what his intentions are. We know the scriptures tell us that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. So what is it that we are expecting from God? Do we understand his intentions for the nations? And yes, we do have a part to play. The scriptures tell us that we are to pray without ceasing, to be faithful in prayer, to stand in the gap for our households and for the households of the nations, to come into alignment and agreement with his heart on these things. And he expects us to believe those things we are praying for. And I want to encourage you today in this word that the Lord is on the move, that he has a plan to bring in a great harvest in this day, that his heart is to save this generation, For he has promised that a day is coming of his great glory, and that glory will outweigh the darkness. So let's all be encouraged on this day. The title of this word is, I am breaking shackles and setting the captive free. I'll begin by reading scripture. Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 5. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. This scripture speaks about the glory that will rise upon the people of God, and it will draw the unsaved to the Lord. Our sons and our daughters, all those who are far off. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This scripture is referring to our attitude that we have faith and believe God's promises and believe that God will do the things that he has said he would do, that his brightness will surely shine upon us and draw multitudes from this generation unto him. Mark 9, verse 23, and Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. This scripture, too, speaks about our heart condition. Are we believing, even for those things that look impossible? Mark 11, 24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Another scripture regarding prayer and believing those things we are praying for to come to pass. Once again, Matthew 21, 21 through 22. And Jesus answered them, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. This scripture too speaks of our faith. Are we believing God's promises? Are we standing on them? And are we coming into agreement with them in prayer, expecting to see them come to pass? I'll begin reading the word. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Trust me to move mountains, to make a way in the desert. I am on the move to push through darkness into the light, says the Lord. I will remove the stain, the handicap. I will bring back the weary into full fellowship in the body of Christ. I will revive the hearts of those who are cast down. Trust me to remove every hindrance and to bring honor to you and your children. I have not forsaken them. I will destroy the works of the enemy over their lives and gain them favor in the hearts and the eyes of the people. I will direct their path and lead them into the full spectrum of activity reserved for this day. No longer will they sit on the sidelines looking in, but they shall be propelled forward into a revelation of the Spirit, says the Lord. I will birth my heart into them, and they shall come into their inheritance. This is the day when I shall rebuke the devourer for your sake. Do not give up. Do not be a quitter. Move forward at a steady pace, believing the promises given. I am working them out. Soon you will see the result of the work of my hands, says the Lord. I am fulfilling my purpose I am bringing in the lost. Changes are in the air. I will remove the heaviness, the oppression, and the light will shine through. Your sons and your daughters shall be blessed. They shall rejoice in the Lord, for I'm about to turn their mourning into dancing. Watch to see me break the shackles and set the captives free. I will do it. I will silence the enemy and take back what belongs to me. Your children shall enter the promises of God undaunted, for I am not a respecter of persons, says the Lord. Enter into the promises of God regarding your offspring. Do you think that I have neglected to cover all the bases? Do you think that I have not heard your cry, your plea? I have, and I will move on your behalf, says the Lord. I will bring in the wanderer. I will bring counsel to those who have gone astray. I will bring direction into the lives of your loved ones. I have promised to, and I will do it. Divine appointments are what I am working on in this day. I have divinely appointed that your sons and daughters be brought under the wing of the Heavenly Father. I will divinely counsel. I have set up the times and dates. You will see me move miraculously in the situations you believe are impossible. I will pluck out the tares and keep the good seed watered till it comes to fruition. I have promised a harvest, says the Lord. I have promised fruit from your labor. I will come through with abundant showers of blessing, ripe fruit to be picked. You will see it and you will rejoice, for the Lord has not abandoned you. He has not left you for another. I will avail myself to you. I will hear and answer your heart's cry for your children. Even now, I am venturing out on your behalf, says the Lord. Even now, I am putting things in order, in place. Keep focused on me. Keep moving forward in faith, trusting, and believing words spoken regarding your loved ones. I will build stamina into you. You will be strengthened in this hour, says the Lord. I will not leave you without hope, without a reason to believe that I am acting on your behalf. For those of you who have been standing in the gap for your loved ones, be encouraged that God is on the move. It's His desire to have a relationship with them. And He is moving and working out His plan to bring revival to the nations. So continue to come into agreement with His word of truth. Even those things that look impossible are possible if we only believe. I pray that the Lord would give us the faith to believe, that we would use that faith as a muscle, stretch it, to accomplish those things that we are trusting the Lord for. He is with us. He is alongside us. We are in unity with His heart on these things because it is His desire to bring salvation to our loved ones. Thank you for listening today. I hope this word will build you up in your spirit and in your faith. We serve a God who will never fail us. Let's rejoice and be glad in Him. Have a great afternoon, and we'll talk to you the next time. Bye for now.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Amen. What a powerful, mighty word. Hallelujah. Encouraging word that the Lord, thank you, Brother Hart, given us tonight. Praise you, Jesus, through our sister there. Thank you, Lord. The hand of the Lord was upon me, says the prophet, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, set me in the midst of the body, which was full of bones. Hallelujah. And so in the midst of America and the world, what do you see right now? Shalom, sister Renee. Dead bones. Those that are taking out the coronavirus vaccine are becoming death. And it's eating them inside. Verse 2. And it caused me to pass by them around about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dried. See how the nations are becoming very dry? See how there's nothing new under the sun, that everything that the Bible said, it happened, is still happening today. We're seeing a repetition of the generations of the prophet Ezekiel, and also Jeremiah, Isaiah, and all of them happening now. My brothers and sisters, it's just another repetition of their bones, that generation before God. My brother and sister. But God sees all. God knows all. Verse 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Hallelujah. That is the question, my brother and sister. Does the church have the faith for these death to live again? The people have the faith, my brother and sister, in God, my brother and sister. Will people repent? There's a verse in the Bible. When the Son of Man returneth, will he find faith on the earth? You see? Can they live again? Can they live before God? Will they live before God? Will they cry out to him and take that second shot in order to remove the effects from the coronavirus vaccine? That is the question, my brother and sister. But God asked the prophet, because at this moment, the prophet is the church, is a believer. Can you believe God can do something? Can you believe God can change their lives? Can we, my brother and sister, can you believe for your family salvation? Because God made a God made us promise about saving our family before they took the coronavirus vaccine in his word. And the Lord says to me again this week, he says to me, I fulfill my promise. Okay? He told me that he fulfilled his word and he fulfilled his promise. Okay? Shalom, Sisera. So the question is, can we believe the word of God? And we must believe. Okay? And the Lord Jesus worked for me and told me this. Okay? That he requires us to believe. Okay? He began to talk to me. Remember the time when he took me to the millennium and he was walking with me. And he says to me, my father requires obedience. And obedience must he get. But this time he was telling me about him because he's God. He's you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. You know? And he demands obedience. And he requires faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please him. That he might come as the God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that daily seek him. My brother and sister, he will reward us. And he was talking to me about this and show me the reward. I haven't cried so much as I did this week when he was showing me this. I was like a baby in tears, crying before the Lord as he was showing me his promise to my life and my family that he's going to bring through, my brother and sister. I was crying. I could not stop crying. And I know it's because I'm also broken for what's happening. My families are being vaccinated, brothers and sisters, and so many other brothers and sisters in the Lord, physically and spiritual family, are being vaccinated. In my spirit, my question is, who's going to be left standing when Jesus returns? Will he find faith? My brother and sister, this is a good question. Because with so many churches being vaccinated, when the Lord returns, will he find faith? You know? As they say of old, where is the promise of his coming? My brother and sister. And even went through my mind, what is the Lord waiting for? Everybody to be vaccinated, the whole world to be vaccinated, for him to come? It went through my mind. I thought about it, and then, I'm sorry, Lord. Because you start thinking, wow, with so many, where 60% of this almost 7 billion people, more than 60% has been vaccinated. You see those numbers online, and you see the multitude across the nation and the world being vaccinated, getting in line to be vaccinated. You start thinking, what is God going to let the whole world go to hell? My brothers and sisters, join death and the devil. But no, he told us that this, it will be this way. The many are called, but the reality is that few are chosen. In order for us to understand even more, we got to go into the Word of God. And we got to put aside our emotion. And when you go to Matthew 22, my brothers and sisters, and you read the parable of the kingdom of heaven that is like to a certain king who made a marriage for his son. This is the marriage supper of the Son of God, the Father had made. Hallelujah. And we know God's going to do something. Thank you, Sister Ezra. Says that the Lord's going to do something. Ezra. And he sent forth his servant to call them that were invited to the wedding, and they will not come. What's the problem right now with humanity before God? That God made them a call, but they are refusing to come to God and repent their sins and trespasses. This is the problem. And for years and years, God's been speaking to this humanity to repent and turn to Jesus. And they keep ignoring the prophet, the messenger, the pastor, the preacher. And the consequence of turning your back to God can be more than what humanity can handle. And that's basically what that is. He sent forth his message to call them that were invited to the wedding, and they will not come. I'm not going. No, don't invite me to church anymore, they say. What do I have to repent for? Beloved, you keep talking on the Lord's hour to repent. Why do I have to repent so much? I don't kill anybody. I don't steal. And refusing to repent. There's so many things we've seen with our mouth, our eyes, our ears, our feet, our hand. There's so many ways we sin. How can we say we don't need to repent? Oh, my brother and sister. Hello. And again, he sent forth his servant. This is the again and again. Go and tell them to repent. Go back and tell them to repent. My brother, how many times he came to the nation of Israel and kept sending prophets to them? Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. He kept sending prophets and sending prophets and sending prophets. And they kept rejecting them. And they kept killing them. And it gets to the point where God said, enough. That's it. That is it. Tell them that I invited. Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatling are killed. And all things already come to the marriage. God prepare a feast for these people. Nah, I'm too busy for that. Forget about that. I don't have time for that. I got to work. I got to bring home the bacon, they say. But they made light of it and went their way, one to his own farm and the other one to his merchandise. They were too busy to pray, to fast, to read the word, and to believe his promise. And every time we tell God that we're too busy, man, there's nothing near to God. It reminds him of all those generations that told him that they were too busy. Oh, I don't have time for that. It just reminds them of those who he put everything right before them to help them out, and they kept rejecting him. My brother and sister. So God comes to the prophet Ezekiel and says, Son of man. Ezekiel said, and he said unto me, of man, can these bones live? And I answer, O Lord God, thou knowest. See the humility of the prophet? This is the way God wants each one of us to behave before him. That if the Lord speaks to you, you don't say, well, wait a minute, let me think about this. No, I'm going to search it on Google, and I'll give you the answer. I'll Google the answer. Wait, let me ask Google. No, let me ask Siri. We think we know everything because you got Google and Siri. No, we don't. My brother and sister, Shalom to the Benjamin. No, we don't. My brother and sister, only God knows everything. Only he knows everything. Oh, Lord, thou knowest. That's humility. That is humility. Only God knows what's happening in the last days, his plan, his agenda. When is he going to do something? When? He has shown me things he's going to do, but to point out and say when, that is another thing. That is, well, it's difficult. And again, he said unto me, prophesy. That I speak God's word over the death. You get into the Bible. Got to know it. Memorize it if you have to. And tell them what God said. That him that come to Christ will come to death and to life. Him or her that received Jesus into the heart and into the life will live because he lives. You will live also, the Bible says. We got to point them to Jesus. Got to point them to the Savior. My brother and sister, so important. Prophesying upon these bones. This is where humanity is right now. Dead bones, those that are taken by sin. My brother and sister, hallelujah. I don't know the agenda about these dead bones with the revival. But I look, Shalom, but let me go, look into the Bible, and I read this. Somehow this is like, it keep coming back to my memory. What is God trying to tell me about these dead bones? The Lord did tell me last time there will be a vaccine that will remove the effect that is out by seeing they're giving them now. But how many people are going to take it? So now it's going to take faith in our part that our family are going to take the vaccine, the solution. And the effect of this vaccine will be removed from them and they will live again, my brothers and sisters. Because this is like the prophet Ezekiel. As God came to him to speak to him this way, God is also speaking to us through his word that we have to believe. Okay? Can they live again now? It's a fact where you are presented with the fact what is happening with society right now. And you've been given the word of God, which is life. My brother and sister, hallelujah, that if you speak the word of God over them, hallelujah, will they live, God says. Prophesy. When you speak this word of God, you are prophesying. And when you speak it over your dead family, you are prophesying over their life. And the question is, do you believe God says, Son of Man? The question kind of becomes personal. Can these bones live? Now God is quiet, waiting for the prophet, his servant, the church, to answer back. Okay? Can they live is the question. What do you think? what do you think? Because I've been encountering people that are telling me, no, that's it for them. They're going to go to hell. You be careful. Because Ezekiel could have answered the same way. Ezekiel could have said to God, no, God, they're going to hell. They're dead. That's it. They're in hell. They are in hell. And the fact could be that the soul is in hell. That could be the fact. My brother and sister, but Jonah cried out of the belly of hell. And God heard his prayer. Ooh. We keep giving God limitation. We keep thinking so limited. We are so limited in our thinking that we say God can do this, but God cannot do that. Oh, no, not there. No, no, God's not going to do that. They took to my sin. That's there for them. Be careful. Okay? As a prophet, we tell you what the Lord says. But as a prophet, we have to be careful, well, even when our own opinion. Our own opinion, a lot of time, it will sink us. What makes us make mistakes. You know? I know of people that God has used over the years and given them words. But you know what sink their ministry? Their opinion. Because a lot of people say, well, you said that God told you this, but then you come out and say this other thing. Ooh, man. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, you said that God said this, but then you come out and say this other thing. Which one is it, they say. Ooh, now the person's opinion is like overriding what God said. Because the people that have listened to the word of the prophet said when the person spoke from God, they knew it was from God. There was a confirmation in the spirit. But when the prophet comes out and says, this other thing, which is the prophet opinion, then the people are saying, which of the two should we believe? You know, and that's what the danger is. My brother and sister, I'm being careful not to give my own opinion because I had and made so much mistake with it. Personal opinion. And it was even time when I said, this is my opinion. And still people hold me to it. You know, because people said, no, you said that the Lord gave you that word, but now you're saying this. Which one is it, Brother Lee? And I'm thinking that, but, you know, the Lord said that, but I'm giving this my opinion. Then I noticed that, you know, you never can contradict what God says. You have always, as a prophet, as a servant, as a messenger, you have to say what God says. This is what the Lord told me. And then you say it. And be careful. That's why the Bible said never to add or take away. That's the way I see it. So we always have to be careful. And you know, someone said to say, just say this is my opinion. But we have to be careful even with opinion. Because they may contradict something you said that God said. You see, what God said, it's going to come to pass 100%. You know, it's like when God says to me, this is going to happen, and he'll show me soon. Okay? And then people say, when do you think, Brother Obi, it's going to happen? Well, I believe it's going to happen in 22, 23. Ooh, we need to be careful with that. Okay? My brother and sister. Okay? And so, I know what the Lord said in regard to those that have taken the vaccine, that there will be this other vaccine available, okay, to remove the effect of the first one. And then the Lord said that when they will repent sincerely from their heart, they will have the chance to come into the kingdom. That's what Jesus said. I refer you to the message. Now, what other people are saying, this is another thing that we need to be careful with. You know, and someone gave me a great advice. You know, Brother Elvis, that the Lord is speaking to you and giving you this message. Be careful with the message God is giving other people because they can be contradictory to the message God is giving you. They can be opposite. They can contradict your message, what God is giving you. And that's another thing I'm being careful not to be putting prophet, like I use the prophet of the prophet, other word about the prophet, Allah, Allah. No, I also have to be careful with that because we cannot contradict each other. What the Lord is saying is what the Lord is saying. What he said, he usually, whoever he speaks to, he'll say the same thing. My brother and sister, God, there's no contradiction in God, no confusion in him neither, at all. When he says something, he says something. So when people have sent me prophecy of other people, contradicting something the Lord has told me, now what I do is I delete it quickly. Quickly. I don't read it. In the moment I read the title, whoop, I delete it. Cannot be contradicting in the Lord. Contradiction is not of God. God, when he says something, he does it. He brings it to pass. My brother and sister. And that's what we need to be careful with. Thank you, Lord. So the question to the prophet, where these bones live, and that's the same question God is asking you and I. Now, if you believe everybody out there, some people may tell you, no, they cannot live again. Imagine when God asked the prophet this question, him bringing the word to the people, and then the people that have listened to other prophets will say to Ezekiel, well, Ezekiel, I don't know, because the word downtown is that they cannot. No, I heard across this other nation that this other prophet had said, according to him, that God gave him the word that no, not, they're going to rotten. They won't live again. They're going to rotten. Okay? Oh, no, the word coming out of this other place is the bones are being burned. Like, there was a word coming out of India that the body was being burned. Okay? So you're going to get all these different words from all these different prophets. And so here it is how it is. When God has Moses, Aaron, and Miriam among the people that were all around Moses and all of them, okay, God did not bring other prophets from other nations to come and contradict Moses. Okay? That cannot happen. My brother and sister. Yes, thank you, brother. 2 Corinthians 13:1. This is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of 2-3 witnesses shall every word be established. Yes. Witness. Agreement. Okay? Agreement. Communion. Union. That's where God is. That's how he moves. My brother and sister. Okay? So, Ezekiel cannot say to the Lord, hold on here, Lord. Let me go and talk to the people and the elder. God sent Moses to the elder as a witness to them and then to the people. Why? Because witness is very important in the Lord. Okay? Witness is very important in the Lord. And so he came to the elder and showed them the sign that the Lord said, when they asked me, and what is his name, thou shalt say, I am that I am, Moses. So Moses comes and gives them the sign and tells them the name of God. And at this moment, the rabbi, you cannot take from the rabbi the wisdom and knowledge that God has given them, which a lot of people do that a lot, most of the time. Oh, how can you say the rabbi say this? Don't take that away from them. That was given to them by God. The knowledge, the wisdom in the word, the revelation in the word came from the Lord, and Jesus confirmed that to me at one time. My brother and sister, as I looked at their wisdom, and the Lord says that it was him through his word that given them the wisdom, the knowledge and revelation. So when God sends Moses to the elder to present himself and to give him the witness and to show them the sign, their leper hand that he will put it, they will see it. They'll see the leprosy and they'll put it back into his shirt and come out and it will be clean again. And the rabbi knew, first of all, that job was given to the priest. First of all, okay? That job was given to the priest. The God will heal the lepers through them. So it indicated right away that Moshe was a priest. Okay? And the priest, the high priest, had a great responsibility. Okay? Why him? Because he was very close to God. Only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. And to the Holy was the room before the Holy of Holies. That was for the priest. But into the Holy of Holies where God was and the true sheriff was, only the high priest could go up there. That indicated that Moshe was the high priest. And that's why the elders listened to him. No, this man has been called by God. He is a high priest. We need to respect him. Okay? An indication who Moshe was. I heard a teaching of this rabbi, and he said, Moshe was a high priest. I'm like, huh? You know, because immediately you want to say, where's that in the Bible? And you start thinking and all that. But then when you follow the calling of the high priest, when God called Aaron and how God told him to be separated unto him and how God settled his garment and everything. And then when God gave him the position into which he will be operating, him and his son, then you notice that Moses was already at that level, my brother and sister. A prophet and a high priest. Okay? The only thing that I questioned was, because there's only one Savior, which is Jesus Christ, he was not a Savior. And that's the question that many people have. No, he was a messenger, he was a preacher, he was a pastor, he was an evangelist, and he was a prophet and a priest. Okay? In the five ministry Moses operated very well, my brother and sister. Okay? And then in the gifting that also God gave him for the miracle, the gifting for a miracle. But by him showing the miracle of the leprosy, that indicated that he was a high priest. Because that was only given according to the law to the high priest, to the priest, not nobody else. And they will go. And when they will come to the priest and say, what do we do with these lepers in the Old Testament under the law? And they will take them out of the camp and leave them. And only the high priest could check whether he was healed or not. And God will heal him at the order of the high priest, at the word of the high priest. Because it was God who established the way how the lepers should be handled. You can go ahead and look that up and study it, my brother and sister. So when you study position, certain position belongs to certain person in the kingdom. He said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? It's a question of faith because you have to believe. You have to believe by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. So God is expecting Ezekiel to be walking by faith. God is expecting you and I to be walking by faith. So if we're walking by faith, what do we say? Can this humanity after being vaccinated, can they live is the question. What do we say? God is not asking you now for your opinion on this. God is asking you to believe. You see the difference? Because a lot of people will say, well, in my opinion, well, I don't think that. See, this the problem. You cannot put your opinion on something that God say it shall be, that the righteous shall walk by faith. Okay, how can you put your opinion there and say, no, that's not the way it is? Or I don't think so because I believe that according to what my grandmother told me. Huh? You cannot change what God said. It is yes, yay, or nay. Yes or no. Can these bones live? Can you put aside for a minute your opinion? What your grandmother said, your grandfather, your uncle. Can they live? That is the question. Can they live? I'll give you a minute. Think about it. Think about it for a second. Thank you, Lord. Help us to believe, Lord. Can these bones live, my brother and sister? Can people be saved after they took the by sin? Help us, Lord. Can these bones live? Because if you just see them spiritually, you only see bones. Bones. My brother and sister, my grandmother, my mother-in-law told me last week that, remember the vision the Lord showed me about my brother-in-law after he took the bison in Florida? He was asking me to please help him. And I tried to help him in the revelation of the Lord, but I could not. I could not. And I cry and cry and cry. She told me that him and his wife got vaccinated already. And I said, the Lord showed me he would. The Lord showed me he would. I was not there, but he did. The Lord showed me. My brother and sister. But can these bones live? If you're a mother and you've been praying or a father for the salvation of your children, for years, and God promised you they're going to live again. But then comes your child and gets vaccinated. Wait a minute. So the Word of God changes now because God, before he got vaccinated, told you that he will be saved. But then comes your son and don't listen to you and gets vaccinated. Now that's the Word of God changes on that. It has the promise of God changes because now he's vaccinated. Can his bone live, my brother and sister? Can they live? This throughout humanity, every time something big happened, like Pharaoh calling himself a god and killing so many people, and this small nation of the Jewish people he had under his hand, which he could kill according to Pharaoh or destroy any time, and he chooses not to let it go, and God sent Moses and tell Pharaoh to let my people go so they can come and worship me on this mountain. Pharaoh looked at Moses and says, who is your God that I should let these people go? And the question is, he's the Almighty. He is the great I am. My brothers and sisters, and his word doesn't fall on ground, not produce anything. It has to produce something. Cannot return back void. His word cannot return back void. Based on that alone, can these bones live? Can they live? God asked the prophet. And I answer, oh Lord, thou art knowing. This is a mystery right now. God knows whether they'll live again. When Father was talking to me that those that were taken by sin will not be part of his kingdom, I saw the Lord looking like to humanity, all broken about the word. My brother and sister, the Lord comes before Father in his throne every day, and he lives to intercede for humanity day and night. He's not lazy. He never was and he never will be. When he was on earth, he prayed all night long. In Gethsemane, he asked his disciples that if they could pray with him at least 1 hour, they fell asleep. My brother and sister, why did they fall asleep? Because he prayed too long. That's why. He didn't look at the night the way we look at the night. Jesus looked at the night for an opportunity to be praying in the presence of God. We look at the night for an opportunity to rest. You see how opposite we are to him? He set a sample for you and I to follow. Instead of us looking like he did, walking like he walked, the Bible said, let the disciple be like his master. He never looked to sleep at night, but he looked forward to praying. And he did it right from the beginning of his ministry. When people look for him, the multitude, after he did many hours all day long in ministry and healed all the sick, the multitude was celebrating. Hosanna. They were celebrating the king. They looked around and he was not around anymore. because it was late already. It was his time to spend time with the Father. He prayed all night long after working miracle all night long. And he said that the Son of Man had no place to rest its head. My brothers and sisters, everybody had a vow in their bed to go sleep, not the Lord, not him. Because he never looked forward to that. You see? He never looked forward to go sleeping. My brothers and sisters, he looked forward to spending time with the Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We got so much, thank you, Brother Miguel, to learn from Jesus. Okay? We look. No, you got to sleep 8 hours, they say. Where's that in the Bible, first of all? No, doctor said that you got to sleep 8 hours. Where's that in the Bible? What happens if you pray 8 hours every night? My brother and sister, most of the most powerful ministry of men and women of God that are in heaven today were people that spent all night long in prayer. When they read it, that Jesus did it, they went and did it too. They had the most powerful ministry we ever heard. My brother and sister, he did it. We should be looking forward to the same. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to do the same. Hallelujah. And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. Notice that the faith and the word goes together. Because the prophet said, and again he said unto me. When you hear that, the first thing is that, and again he said unto me, will these bones live? But that's not what he said. He says, prophesy. If you believe that they will live, prophesy his word to them. Tell them that God still has a plan for their lives. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Tell them there will be an opportunity for them to be saved again. There will be a vaccine. There will be a medicine. God will provide. My brother and sister said, Abraham, Father, they had the donkey and the wood. And where is the sacrifice? And he says, God will provide. God will provide. Can you believe that? Tonight, can you believe God will provide for these people a way out? Those that are taking the vaccine. Now, I don't tell you by this, go take the vaccine. No. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Don't take the vaccine. But God is going to provide. Okay? What did Jesus say about his sheep? What did he say in John 10 that they are his and no one can take it away from him? Okay? No one can. They are his and no one can take it away. Well, humanity are saying today, no, the vaccine is taking your children, Lord. The vaccine is taking your children. You're losing them to the vaccine, Lord. You're losing them to the vaccine. Doesn't that sound kind of contradicting itself? My brothers and sisters, thank you, Lord, help us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's read a little bit here in John. The parable of Jesus that spoke unto them, but they understood not what the thing that they were which he spoken unto them. Usually that's how it is. When something like this happens, we need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't understand what's happening. Can you help me understand? Because the disciple finds himself in the same place, not understanding. The parable that Jesus spoke unto them, but they don't understand now. Huh? What's happening? I don't know. Then Jesus said unto them, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Because he's talking about a door, and you're looking for a door, and you're looking around the neighbor for a door. You didn't got it. You're looking for something physical. That's what usually what people are looking for. Where is it? I don't know. I can't find it. It's by faith and not by sight, the Bible says. All that enter came before me are thief and robber, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be safe and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief come not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. I come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I am the good shepherd, verse 14, and I know my sheep, and I know them by mine. You got to know him. You got to know him. Okay? You just got to know him. As my Father knows me, even so now I, the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. The other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they should hear my voice, and to one fold and one shepherd. Those that were not of those fold were not directly Jews. They will come out of all the nations, but the blood will come from the Savior. Therefore, that my Father loved me, because I laid down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down on myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. So, what did the Father say to Jesus? My son, you have the power to lay down your life, my son. My son, you have the power to raise it back again. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. He has the power. He has the power to lay, take it back again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We belong to the Lord. We belong to him. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. He knows who we are and where we are today in him. Rest in him. Trust him. And whatever he's going to do in the last day, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. He's going to show his power. Power that was shown at the beginning of creation. My brother and sister, this creation at one time was one with heaven, with God. And the display of God power was all over this place. It will be like that again. Okay? It will be like that again. Because he is in control. Because of sin, it has not been this way for a long time. But the Lord is coming back with his angel in great power, the Bible says. That will be a display to see of his power, that he is in total control. When he showed me this, I fell down on the ground and I cried like a baby and I could not even move. His power will be on this earth like it was in the beginning. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. My brother and sister, when this humanity sees the power of Jesus, they will have no doubt who he is. They doubt now. They not doubt of his power now. But when he displays his power, there will be no doubt. My brother, the most wicked person on this earth, when they see the Lord's power, they're going to cry on their knees. My brother and sister. Because the Lord's going to display his power. And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You know why the word of the Lord? Because the word of the Lord is alive. Okay? Jesus is the word. And no matter how dead the person is, if the day hear his voice, they will be raised again, the Bible says. My brother and sister, it's a great promise of the Lord. Thou saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. You notice something? He didn't say when. He said that they will live, but he's not saying when would they live. But when, brother? What? Is it next year, brother? Brother, is it at the end of this year? God is saying they will live. And we may not know if it's next month, next year. But God says they will. And God is not a man that he will lie, nor the son of man that he will repent. He says they will live. My brother and sister, they will. Thank you, Lord. You know, we need to take this. We need to take his word. In a matter of what's happening, study it and learn it and say, wait a minute, this is what God said. Let's not miss what he said. Thou say the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Who will cause life to enter back into them? First of all, they had it, but they lost it. They need it back again. Okay? They lost it. They made them seem like the bison was okay, it was fine, we'll protect them, and they took the bison. Now they need to live again. You see, they got deceived. The Lord did told them not to be deceived, but how many times did the Lord told us not to do something and we did it and we made those mistakes? As a Christian, how many mistakes have we made? Hello, someone. Or only been out, we make a mistake serving the Lord over all these years. It's only been me. The rest has just been perfect, nothing, no mistake. I mean, you just been, you know, when you get out, you're speaking in tongues all day long, and it's been all fine, and you're smiling, and everything is great. I don't think so. Let's be honest. We have made much mistake, and it's been the grace of the Lord. It's been his mercy on us, with us, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Let's not overlook his mercy and grace over all these years. David said of the Lord, for his mercy endure forever. David said of the Lord, David said that he was dead among the dead in his walk with God. But then he said, after God came to him and helped him, David said, his mercy endureth forever. Well, right when he thought it was over, there was no hope for him. The Lord came to him and helped him. Hallelujah. Praise your Lord. Did not the Lord say on the cross, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Hallelujah. Why hast thou forsaken me? He said. My brother and sister, it sounds like everything was lost. In order to sign, everything is safe. You see? You see the mystery between the lines? In a moment, it seems that everything was lost at the cross. Oh, we lost. Oh, we lost. And the enemy and all the wicked people were celebrating. We killed them finally. No more. No more. They lost. It seems like it was all lost. Like everything had gone to hell in a moment. Because when he's like, well, he died. So what do we do now? The disciple went and locked himself in the room altogether. And so what do we do now? Totally forgot about God's promise of coming back again on the third day according to his promise. It has to be according to his promise. So Peter, John, what do we do now? What do we do now? What do we do now? When Thomas heard that the Lord resurrected again, Oh, no, they come restore it now. Now, because we lost, they're coming up with a story that he resurrected again. If I don't see him and put my finger on his side and his hand, Thomas says he will not believe, my brother and sister, because he was tired of the story, tired of being down, depressed, seeing his master crucified, and seeing his brothers and sisters hiding, afraid. Thomas says, no, 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 no. But the reminder of his promise, it was said that the Christ will be crucified. That was the promise. And raised again on the third day. What happened to the promise? Did it die? Did that promise, was that promise not fulfilled when God fulfilled his promise? My brother and sister, what happened to the promise? Hallelujah. Then the Lord appeared unto Thomas in the 12th. Hallelujah. And the other, Thomas. Hallelujah. Imagine at the moment, Rabboni, Rabbi. Hallelujah. My brother, it seems like we're all lost. Go ahead, Thomas. Put your finger in my side and in my hand. Hallelujah. And don't be unbeliever. Hallelujah. But believe. Because that's the behavior. When we don't believe, in the moment when everything seems lost, we're forgetting the promise. Because he made a promise. Before coronavirus came on this earth and the vaccine came, God made us promise. Oh, now because we got a virus and we got a vaccine all over the world, the promises are not true anymore? Is that what it is? We're going to be acting like Thomas? The rest of us, the least of us now, we're going to be going around like Thomas. Oh, the Lord promised, you know, and what even happened to even this revival you were talking about earlier? Is that really going to happen now? Because look, everybody being vaccinated. The promise was given to us before the virus and before the vaccine. God knew the virus and the vaccine will come, but he first gave us the promise. He first gave us the promise. So what do we hold on to? His promise. He fulfilled his promise. My brother and sister, the 11, because Judah had killed himself, were disturbed. And Thomas didn't even believe. None of them remembered the promise at that very moment. Is that happening now with the church, with the few that are left? Have you forgotten his promise? Like the 11? Are we going to, like the 11 saying to what do we do now? They crucify our master. They crucified what we were hoping that would happen. They kill it. No, they haven't. No, they haven't. My brother and sister, his promises are true every day. Our victory is secure in him. 100% our victory. Hallelujah. You think that we're going to go into eternity complaining and murmuring and saying, you know, we believe, but nothing happens. God, you know, we read about all his promise. And you think God's going to let you go into eternity complaining and saying that you didn't see none of this stuff? None of God's promise come to pass? That will never happen. Never happen. As long as he's in the throne, he's going to fulfill his promise to us. And you and I are going to go into eternity praising him and thanking him because of his faithfulness. And we'll say, thou art faithful, O God. We thought, we saw, we despair because we did not understand your plan. And then you reveal your plan and we saw your mighty hand. And we saw your mighty power. And you conquered the enemy right before us. You remove all evil and destroy the work of Satan right before our eyes. And we're going to kneel before his throne. And we're going to worship him and thank him. Because he did more than what we expected and believed, my brother and sister. When God revealed his mighty hand, his people will praise him forever, my brother and sister, because he is worthy to be praised, and his mercy endure forever. My brother and sister, he had never made a mistake, and he will never well. He's only asking us is to trust him and trust in his promise. Believe in his promise. Trust him and believe in his promise that he's going to fulfill them and he's going to bring them to pass. And we're going to hear with our ears and we're going to see with our eyes how wonderful he is, how great he is. And one day all together, we will all sing. We will all sing how great thou art. Hallelujah, and we'll praise them. My brother and sister, together with the angel, with the symphony of heaven, we will praise him and praise him and praise him. And we will not want to come out of his presence praising him. Hallelujah, thanking him for how great he is and how awesome, how great is our God. My brother and sister, he is worthy to be praised. And you may doubt about it. The devil may want to put a doubt in you. But you're going to see it with your eyes. You're going to hear with your ears how great is your God. Because he's going to fulfill all the promises of his word. My brothers and sisters. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. Behold, I will cause bread to enter into you. And you shall live. And I will lay sinners upon you. And will bring you all flesh upon you and cover you with skin, put breath on you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. He is the great I am, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. The children of Israel trust in the great I am while they were in Egypt, when Moses came to them, when he came to the elders, and when he told the elders, thou save, hallelujah, him. That his name is I am that I am, that he's going to bring you up out of this land into a land that will flow with milk and honey. That seemed impossible at the moment that they will be an enslaved, that they have to work so hard every day for Pharaoh, and they will be beaten by Pharaoh's, hallelujah, people. My brother and sister, they were being whipped every day. In the promise of God to them, hallelujah, seemed so far away, but it was so closer. It was closer than what they think it was. And then after God brought the plague of Egypt, whole Egypt, including the children of Israel, saw the mighty hand of God. And when they celebrated Passover, at the moment, the night before they left, my brother and sister, at that very moment, they were already praising the Lord. Because with mighty hand, he took them out of Egypt. How the Lord changes. How Jesus Christ changes. How Father and the Holy Spirit changes. Because he displays his mighty hand in Egypt. And the Egyptians and Pharaoh were afraid after he killed the firstborn. What God is this? The name of the God of Egypt could stop him. Pharaoh had the greater army this world has seen. And his greater army cannot stop the hand of the Lord that was upon Egypt. And God displays his mighty hand again one last time when he killed the firstborn and took over 5 million people out of Egypt and calmed and donkeys, camels, and horses to the wilderness that it seemed impossible for those people to live without water, without food. Before you cross a wilderness of days, you need water and food. And a lot of those mothers have babies on them. And not one of them perish because of water or because of food. And neither because of clothing. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he says, shall thou say unto the children of Israel, hallelujah, and have sent me unto you. Praise the Lord. God, this place is mighty hand upon Egypt and the world, because there were other nations who depended on Egypt, because they just had everything, my brother and sister. Since, hallelujah, remember that God raised Joseph and bought the land of other nations with the grain that Joseph, God gave him the wisdom to save in Egypt. People were selling their land. So most of the world and the nations around, the nation of Egypt became so powerful. My brother and sister, that's why they were creating so many idols, because they became so powerful. They thought their idols what made them powerful, but they could not be no more wrong. My brother and sister, the United States, that their army and their weapon is what made them powerful. No, what made powerful has been the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. The church, the children that he has in the United States are many that cry out to God every day. That's what made the United States powerful, my brother and sister. That's what made this nation powerful, the God that we serve. But if people forget this God and makes him angry with the disobedience and sin, then they'll see other nations putting this nation to shame. My brother and sister, never forget who your God is. Hallelujah. Humble yourself before him every day. Hallelujah. And call upon his name, and we will be saved. Hallelujah. So he said in verse 7, so, hallelujah, I prophesy, says Ezekiel, as I was commanded. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And as I prophesy, there was a noise. Hallelujah. What's the noise? Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. There are noise. People are hearing noise. There are noise in the air. Signs of his coming. My brother and sister. And behold, a shaking. The earth been shaking more every day. Over 200 times a year, the earth has been shaking because Jesus is coming. My brother and sister, at the word of the Lord, the earth is shaking now more than ever. A shaking, and the bones came together. Hallelujah. When you believe God's word and promise, they are coming together in him. Hallelujah. Bones to his bones. Hallelujah. Because they are joined together to make their body strong. That's what holds the body, the bones. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. In the last day, bones. Hallelujah. To bones are coming together as the word of God is being spoken. Hallelujah. By faith. By faith, the gospel has been preached unto all the nations, unto the witness unto all the nations. Now that the gospel has been preached, now, my brothers, is the kind of manifestation of the power of God. Hallelujah. Now with the bone comes together, my brothers and sisters, so important. And when beheld, lo, Simon and flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no bread in them. Hallelujah. Then he said, he unto me prophesied unto the wind. Hallelujah. things has to be how God leads us for them to be. See how God is leading the prophet? God is the one who leads his people. Never mistaking how things are to be done. It is God who needs to tell us what to do next. Okay? It is him. He needs to guide us. So Ezekiel began to prophesy, but notice that he said there was no breath in them. Yet they're still not alive. What do we say? It's in God's timing, prophet. Serving of the Lord is in God's timing. It is in his timing. He knows. Hallelujah. So he's been prophesying. Hallelujah. My brother and sister. But not much was happening. There was no breath in them yet. No life in them yet. You'll see. You'll see. That's what Jesus showed me the other day about us in this revival. That we have not seen much yet. But his plan is that when the power of God comes in our lives in the last day, Jesus showed me. And showed me him changing us in front of him. Going now with great power like this earth has not seen. My brother and sister. Thank you, Jesus. Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man. And say to the wind, thou sayest the Lord God, come from the four wind of breath and breathe upon these slain that they may live. Hallelujah. Notice how he doesn't call them death anymore. He calls them slain because that's what the coronavirus thing is doing. It's slaying people. My brothers and sisters. It's keeping them in a spiritual state where they're like dead bones right now. Death. They're dead bones right now. And God has a plan. Wind represents the Holy Spirit. That wind is the pouring of the Holy Spirit in the four corners of the earth. Hello, someone. Are you seeing the plan of God for the last day? Are you seeing his plan and his words being revealed to us? Thou sayest the Lord God, come from the four wind, all breath. He's going to take the four corners of the earth and pour down his spirit upon the flesh. My brother and sister, in a special way. And breathe upon these slain that they may live. Hallelujah. He has this plan all along. And all we have to ask him is, show me in your word. Show me in your Bible the last day plan, God. Here it is. My brothers, Ezekiel 37:9, to the four corners of the earth, the wind of the Holy Spirit is going to cover the four corners of the earth, and the people that are there will live. My brothers and sisters, I thank you, Lord. Verse 10, so I prophesy as he commanded me, and breath came into them. They live and stood up upon their feet. An exceeding great army. The Lord has an army. My brother and sister, plan for the last day. Hallelujah. He has an army that he's going to raise. How many of his prophets long time ago that he says he was raising an army? And of course, we're little-minded, Lord. So, Lord, where was he going to raise these people, Lord? Where's it going to start? Where is this revival going to begin? From where, Lord, are you going to raise this army, Lord? Please reveal to me that, Lord. Please show me, Lord. Lord, I want to know. And the Lord said, trust me, my child. I will raise an army unto myself in the last day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And that's what he's been asking us for years. Trust him. Believe his promise. My brother and sister, believe his promise, believe that he was going to do this, hallelujah, at the right time. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That's all he was asking us, my brother and sister, to believe him, to trust him, to wait on him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Joel 2:11, the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong and executes his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? Oh, thank you, Lord, for revealing your mystery to us, Lord Jesus. As Ezekiel 2:11, this is one of the last day promise of you. When you go down, he says, then I will put out my spirit upon no flesh. The Lord shall utter his voice before his army. Thank you, Lord. Speak unto these bones, son of man, he said. I thank you, Lord. He has an army. Hallelujah. He has an army plan. Hallelujah. Verse 25, I will restore to you the years that the locust have eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, parmaworm, my great army which I send amongst you. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah, his plan is mighty. He's planning to raise a great army in the last day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. What an awesome God we serve. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. He given us promise. He made us promise. And he's going to fulfill them. Because he's not a man that he will lie. Hallelujah. No, he's not a man that he will lie. His promise is true. My brother and sister. His plan are firm. And he will fulfill them. He's going to raise an army, he said, in the last days. And we are part of that army of the Lord. My brother and sister, we are part. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 11, then he said unto me, son of man, these bones of the whole house of Israel, how much of it have taken the vaccine of the house of Israel? Saith the Lord, the whole house thought that the vaccine will protect them from the virus and thought that they will be protected. My brother and sister, but our protection comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. My brother and sister, trusting the Lord is the best for us. To trust him is to have wisdom. Hallelujah. Trust the Lord, the Bible says, and do not lean on your own understanding. What do we know? We went to grammar school, high school, and college. That's all we know. What have we learned there? The wisdom on this earth is fallen, and it's even diabolical, my brother and sister. Said unto me, son of man, these bones of the whole house of Israel, behold, they say, our bones are dry. Our hope is lost. We are cut out from our part. Hallelujah. Was it right for them to think this way? My brother and sister, in regard to their condition, yes. Because they only are saying what's happening to them. But that was not the end. That was not the end. A lot of people are saying, or it's the end for those people. That was not the end. And a lot of the critics that are here today, if they're standing there with the prophet, they will be saying it's the end for them. That's it. There's no hope. They're dead. They're dead spiritually. Was there any hope for them? A lot of people are saying that. Lord, help us, because our opinion, oh, man, it can be dangerous. It can be so dangerous, our opinion. We need to be based on the word. If any man speaketh as Paul, let him speak according to the word of God. Any man speaketh. Paul was already tired listening to people's opinion. He said, she said, he said, she said. That's not what God is saying. Now, more than I'm saying what God is saying, if any man speaketh, he bring his Bible study, speaking according to the word of God, because the word of God is the promise of God to us. We need to be standing on those promises every day. Or what else? What else are we going to be standing on if we cannot stand on his word and his promise? What else are we going to stand on? On the story of people, on our history, that no one knows if it's all true. Most of it's lie. Christopher Columbus discovered America. That's a lie. It's been proven by a lot of people who have researched it that he did not discover America, but he gets all the credit. No, it was the Lord who discovered America. It was Jesus Christ who discovered America. America is today because he planned it to be this way. But Christopher Columbus gets all the credit. He said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Man, the whole house. Not even one was repenting in the house of Israel. The whole house was taken up by sin. The whole house. The entire church today that has taken up by sin. And I recommend it to the church member. And they even have people in the church, fascinating people. Or am I making this up? What I'm speaking is not true. What the media is reporting and showing on video is not true. They're making up the story. When they're showing you video, a church is fascinating people, fascinating all their members. My brother and sister, is that true or is not true? Or the word is not true? True, and the word is true. My brother and sister, the whole house of Israel has vaccinated themselves. Will these bones live? Will these people live again? That's the question. Thank you, Jesus. Behold, they say, our bones are dry. Had a sister write to me. I don't open my Facebook every day. Maybe sometimes even once a week. Open my Facebook today. I had a lot of message from different people across the world. American across the world message from people leaving me message on Facebook. And this woman says to me, Brother Elby, I've been vaccinated. Can you tell me when was the vaccine to remove the vaccine to remove this other vaccine will be available? You can tell the people that have taken the vaccine how sad, how darkened their life have become. Death, my brothers and sisters. A dear sister, as she took the vaccine, was rebuking death from herself. She says, I feel it taking my soul. It's what she wrote to me. I listened to my husband and took the vaccine, she says. Until he took it. Brother Elby, please pray. Difficult, my brother and sister. so many people being vaccinated. The whole house of Israel. These bones, says God to the prophet, are the whole house of Israel. The whole house. I don't know what it is with people and trying to find another hope besides Jesus. My brother and sister, the whole house of Israel abandoned God and took what was available for them to take and injected it in their body and injected how the doctor put injected it in their body. My brother and sister, the blind following the blind, God warned them and warned them and warned them not to take the vaccine. To be repenting and seeking him more than ever. To cry out to him more than ever. That he will deliver them. Said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dry. And our hope is lost. This is how they feel right now. United States, the world. People that are being vaccinated, Christians, they feel lost. We are cut off from our part. Cut off. The spirit, they feel dead. Cut off. I have people look to me that I warn not to take it and put the head down in shame this week. In shame. I had a brother looked at me after I told him not to take the vaccine. He looked at me this week and put his head down in shame, knowing now that he was so wrong, that he should have listened. My brother and sister, they say we are cut off from our part. Oh, Lord, his word is ever true. Verse 12, therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, all my people, I will open your graves. Where are they? Oh, they're in church. They're in God said, the dead. God said they're dead. Those that are vaccinated are dead, God said, in his word. People's opinion may not believe that because their eyes think that what their eyes see is what it is. Like the Lord says, the man that look at himself in the mirror, but then later forget who he was, thinking that that's in the mirror is him, and forget that God will glorify us with a glory body, a heavenly body, like an angelic body that will have no limitation by anything, you know, not by door, not by wall. By nothing you will be limited by. My brothers and sisters, I will open your graves. No, some people say, no, they're not dead. You see, it's that, no, God said they're dead in his word. I believe God. I read the word, I believe God. Who do you believe? Because me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose this day. Choose this day. Joshua said to the people, you got to choose. It's a matter of choice. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Hallelujah. Mighty is the Lord who can do this, what he promised. My brother and sister, verse 13, all ye should know that I am the Lord when I had opened your graves, all my people brought you up, hallelujah, out of your graves. He has a plan that is in his word, the very people knew about it. But all we had to do was ask. And he would have revealed it to us. Right when they think it's all lost. It's all lost, people say. They're cut off. My brother and sister, God said, and ye shall know. You will know. It will come to your knowledge. It will come to your mind. It will come to your knowing that I am the Lord. And when I have opened your grave, all my people, and brought you out of your graves, I shall put my spirit in you. He's putting back his spirit in them. There's still hope in Christ. There's still hope. Jesus said, if they cry from all their heart, repent, then they will be saved. They will have the opportunity to come to his kingdom. My brother, there's still hope in him. He cannot contradict his promise. He cannot be any different to the generations of Ezekiel and them being different to their generation. That's not biblical. That's not God. That is not God. God cannot bring them back after they were dead then and then now say, no, I'm not doing that. Forget about them. They can all go to hell. Excuse me? Lord, what about your promise? You made these promises, Lord. When we read your Bible, when we read your word, we read what you did with these people. Are those people most important than these people, Lord? And Lord will say, no. To me, all of you are the same. I have mercy on them. I have mercy on these now too. Jesus Christ, says Paul, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He had mercy on them. He also is having mercy on thee too. Let not forget his promise. My brother and sister, I shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I am the Lord, has spoken it and perform it, saith the Lord. This God has said, and this God will perform, he says. These are his promise. That's what I present to you tonight. God promised to us. My brother and sister, are they true? They're true. Amen. You can take these promises and take it before his throne and say to him, this is what you promised us a few thousands of years to the prophet Ezekiel. Are these promises still standing before you? Or these were only to the generation of Ezekiel? Just knocked down my drinking cups. Are these promises only for the generation of Ezekiel? Or these applies to us today? Jesus said that if we keep his commandments, in death we will prove that we love him and keeping his commandments. My brother and sister, he made us his promise. How are we not going to believe them when he made them? He is not a man that he will lie, not a son of man that he will repent. We're only believing what he said. We're only claiming what he said. My brother and sister, because he told us to believe his promise. That's what we're doing. He told me this week and says, I fulfill my promise to you. Hallelujah. And keep saying that he fulfilled what he said. My brother and sister, standing right in front of me, I was crying like a baby under his power and anointing. My brother and sister, looking at the Lord, speaking this word to me. That's why I can come in his Bible, in his word, and read what he promised us. I could not stand because of the anointing and power that was coming out of him. I had to fall down in his presence. I could not stand as he was speaking to me this week. My brother and sister, the power and anointing was like too much for my body. And I dropped down. And he still kept talking to me. My brother and sister, as his word was hitting me, it was hitting me like wind. It was the power of his spirit. My brother and sister, the power of his word, the same word and power and wind that's going to bring these people back alive. when he decides to. My brother, in his timing, his plan already has been spoken, and he's going to perform them. He says, I perform it, saith the Lord, in verse 14. Okay? He made his promise, and then he said, hallelujah. He says, I shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. I shall place you in you my, place you in my, in your own land. Then shall you know that I am the Lord, has spoken it and perform it, saith the Lord. He's going to fulfill it. He's going to accomplish it because he spoke it. My brother and sister, where can I return back boy to him? It has to do what he said. He said to the prophet Isaiah. Has to. Verse 15, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companion. Then take another stick and write it on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and of the house of Israel and his companion. He began to divide by groups, my brother and sister, because when the great movement of the Spirit comes, this man of God was sharing this with me on the phone. The God showed him that there will be a country, a northeast country, where the power of God in the last day through the revival will begin. He says to me, Brother Elvie, it's not going to begin in America. Not going to begin in America, but it will be in America as it comes down throughout the land, throughout the country, throughout the nations, the power of God display. He's going to perform what he promised, my brother and sister. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He said that our family is going to be saved. He's going to save our family. Join them, one together into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. You see? People can be in different places, in different nations, different countries, but they will be joined together in one spirit. That's what that hymn is about. They're going to become and be one because we are one in the Lord. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what this thou meanest by these? Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribe of Israel, his fellow, will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and then make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand. There you go. You see? All these people will be one. And what is his hand? He says, my hand. That's Messiah, Jesus. The right hand of the Lord is Messiah, Jesus. My brother and sister, well, they will all be embraced by Messiah, covered, protected. Abraham, I will be your shield in thy strong tower, he says to him. My brother and sister, that's the right mighty hand of God, the Lord, embracing his people. Because we are all one in him, part of his body. Paul says to the Corinthians, we're all part of his body. We're all going to be embraced by him. We're all going to be put together by him. I saw myself one time in the revival being put together with other people from other nations, and we were witnessing and evangelizing, moving in supernatural power of God together. Together. My brother Miguel is in Colombia. We're going to join together in the revival like if we were in the same country, moving in the power of God. No more with my brother Miguel, we're 3,000 miles away from me. We're going to be together. The Lord is doing so. The Lord has promised us so. So it shall be, my brother and sister. No more distance for us. Now. No, not in the Lord. And the stick where thou writest shall be in thy hand before thine eyes. Why thine eyes? See, we don't walk by sight, but by faith. But the promise of the Lord we must feed with our own eyes. Because while we see, while we hear, we testify. Remember the disciples saying that? What they saw, what they heard? We testify. What is the bride is going to testify about? What the bride heard and what the bride saw. We begin faith by hearing. Faith comes by hearing and by hearing the word of God. That's what we're doing. Then comes the confirmation of everything that God has spoken right before our being displayed. My brother and sister. And the stick where thou right should be in thy hand before their eyes, God says. Their eyes. In other words, we will see. The whole world will see. My brother and sister. Because the word that's been spoken will be displayed before them. And all eyes will see. That's why all eyes need to see. My brother and sister, all tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord for the glory of God. Oh, I need to see him. Oh, I need to see Jesus when he returns. Why? Even the people in hell need to see him. Because remember, they only heard about him before they die. But when he returned with all his glory and power, everyone needs to see. All eyes. That means everyone. Everyone. Doesn't matter how deep in hell they are, they need to see. Because it's a witness. He's a faithful witness unto a witness unto them, the Bible says. But they're already lost. The word of God is true. The word of God is true, and everyone needs to see that it's true. My brother and sister, it's going to make it be this way. God said it will be this way. And of course it will be this way. Verse 21, and said unto them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen. Where are they? There's been the problem, the backsliding over the years of the church that is among the heathen. My brother and sister. But God says that he will take them from among the heathen that they had gone. God did not send them there. God said, you are in the world, but you're not of the world. So what happened? Backsliding. My brother and sister. But God said, I will take them from among the heathen where they have gone, and I will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. Hallelujah. The Lord showed me my land this week that he promised me. And he wanted me to see it. I saw a tomato tree or plant bigger than anything I saw. It was like I was in the millennium, and I'm looking at this plant, a tomato that I knew it was, and now looking up, it was a bigger one I saw full of tomatoes. If you plant the tomatoes now, they don't grow that big. But this was close to 30 feet. How is this possible? The Lord wanted me to see it. Because the Lord says to me a few weeks ago, you will have a garden in the millennium. You will have a garden. I promise you that. Just a minute. He's talking to me about his promise. We've been studying his promise here in the Word, and we're going to continue. Because a lot of people have been doubting over the years. That needs to stop. Let's study his promise. His promise is true. Amen. We cannot walk by doubt and unbelief. We walk by faith. My brother and sister, the Bible says not by faith. Very important. We stand on his promise. And Jesus has been talking to me about it. Been given this Bible study. He has put it in my heart. He has given me the words. And I give it to the people. And then he himself comes and confirms it to me. Standing right in front of me and looking at him. Whoa. My brother and sister. It was like a day in between before the Lord came to me back again. That was surprising to me. I thought I would have to wait, maybe weeks, who knows. And it was a day in between. He came back to me again. My Lord. And he came to talk to me about his promise. The same thing we're talking about tonight. He again began to talk to me about the promise. And the power that he was talking to me about, I could not stand. Straight looking at him, I was falling under his power as he was talking about his promise. Awesome. And he took me to the millennium and showed me, hallelujah, what he has for us. And showed me a great land, a fruitful land. And he says, all this I'm giving to you as I promise you. Wow, Lord. I made my promise to you, he says. I fulfilled my promise, he said. And showed me the land. And he said, go walk on it. And I began to walk. And I began to see the land. It was huge. It was full of fruit. And I was there with my children, my brothers and sisters, rejoicing in the Lord, enjoying what he was showing me. My Lord, my God, what he has for us. I just heard him say yes. Oh, Lord. He's so good. He's so merciful. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. A lot of the time, I don't know what I'm going to say, but he gives me the word. Oh, glory be unto him. He knows what we need. Verse 22. I will make them one nation. But what's going to happen with all these nations that are today? God's going to make us all one nation before him. One nation. My brother and sister. For those that have joined us a little later, okay, I play a word, a promise of the Lord. Okay, I want to play. I'll be back after this. Listen.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me today on my YouTube channel. Today is August the 24th of 2021. I'd like to bring another word to you from the Lord this morning that I hope will encourage you and cause you to keep your eyes upon him and to be trusting him through these times that we are living in. We can look at the circumstances around us and wonder about the changes we see taking place in our world. But these things that are taking place are no surprise to the Lord. He knows all, he sees all, and in fact, he knew these things would take place, and he has always encouraged us to put our trust in him and not in our circumstances, so that we are able to continue on with his peace that passes all understanding. Today, I'd like to share a word with you the Lord put on my heart to release to you this morning. It is one that refers to our children, our wayward children, those who were brought up in the faith and yet wandered away. But it extends beyond that to every man, woman, and child, because God's heart is to redeem the lost, to make known his wonders to everyone, and his heart is that none should perish. So if you have wayward children and praying for them, for their salvation, for their return back to the Lord, be encouraged that the Lord is hearing and answering your prayers. And if you've been discouraged, take hope because God is on the move. And sometimes the problem is just with us not fully understanding what the Lord is doing and what his intentions are. We know the scriptures tell us that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. So what is it that we are expecting from God? Do we understand his intentions for the nations? And yes, we do have a part to play. The scriptures tell us that we are to pray without ceasing, to be faithful in prayer, to stand in the gap for our households and for the households of the nations, to come into alignment and agreement with his heart on these things. And he expects us to believe those things we are praying for. And I want to encourage you today in this word that the Lord is on the move, that he has a plan to bring in a great harvest in this day, that his heart is to save this generation. For he has promised that a day is coming of his great glory, and that glory will outweigh the darkness. So let's all be encouraged on this day. The title of this word is, I am breaking shackles and setting the captives free. I'll begin by reading scripture. Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 5. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. This scripture speaks about the glory that will rise upon the people of God, and it will draw the unsaved to the Lord. Our sons and our daughters, all those who are far off. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This scripture is referring to our attitude that we have faith and believe God's promises and believe that God will do the things that he has said he would do, that his brightness will surely shine upon us and draw multitudes from this generation unto him. Mark 9, verse 23, and Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. This scripture, too, speaks about our heart condition. Are we believing, even for those things that look impossible? Mark 11, 24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Another scripture regarding prayer and believing those things we are praying for to come to pass. Once again, Matthew 21, 21 through 22. And Jesus answered them, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. This scripture too speaks of our faith. Are we believing God's promises? Are we standing on them? And are we coming into agreement with them in prayer, expecting to see them come to pass? I'll begin reading the word. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Trust me to move mountains, to make a way in the desert. I am on the move to push through darkness into the light, says the Lord. I will remove the stain, the handicap. I will bring back the weary into full fellowship in the body of Christ. I will revive the hearts of those who are cast down. Trust me to remove every hindrance and to bring honor to you and your children. I have not forsaken them. I will destroy the works of the enemy over their lives and gain them favor in the hearts and the eyes of the people. I will direct their path and lead them into the full spectrum of activity reserved for this day. No longer will they sit on the sidelines looking in, but they shall be propelled forward into a revelation of the Spirit, says the Lord. I will birth my heart into them, and they shall come into their inheritance. This is the day when I shall rebuke the devourer for your sake. Do not give up. Do not be a quitter. Move forward at a steady pace, believing the promises given. I am working them out. Soon you will see the result of the work of my hands, says the Lord. I am fulfilling my purpose. I am bringing in the lost. Changes are in the air. I will remove the heaviness, the oppression, and the light will shine through. Your sons and your daughters shall be blessed. They shall rejoice in the Lord, for I'm about to turn their mourning into dancing. Watch to see me break the shackles and set the captives free. I will do it. I will silence the enemy and take back what belongs to me. Your children shall enter the promises of God undaunted, for I am not a respecter of persons, says the Lord. Enter into the promises of God regarding your offspring. Do you think that I have neglected to cover all the bases? Do you think that I have not heard your cry, your plea? I have, and I will move on your behalf, says the Lord. I will bring in the wanderer. I will bring counsel to those who have gone astray. I will bring direction into the lives of your loved ones. I have promised to, and I will do it. Divine appointments are what I am working on in this day. I have divinely appointed that your sons and daughters be brought under the wing of the Heavenly Father. I will divinely counsel. I have set up the times and dates. You will see me move miraculously in the situations you believe are impossible. I will pluck out the tares and keep the good seed watered till it comes to fruition. I have promised a harvest, says the Lord. I have promised fruit from your labor. I will come through with abundant showers of blessing, ripe fruit to be picked. You will see it and you will rejoice, for the Lord has not abandoned you. He has not left you for another. I will avail myself to you. I will hear and answer your heart's cry for your children. Even now, I am venturing out on your behalf, says the Lord. Even now, I am putting things in order, in place. Keep focused on me. Keep moving forward in faith, trusting, and believing words spoken regarding your loved ones. I will build stamina into you. You will be strengthened in this hour, says the Lord. I will not leave you without hope, without a reason to believe that I am acting on your behalf. For those of you who have been standing in the gap for your loved ones, be encouraged that God is on the move. It's His desire to have a relationship with them, and He is moving and working out His plan to bring revival to the nations. So continue to come into agreement with His word of truth. Even those things that look impossible are possible if we only believe. I pray that the Lord would give us the faith to believe, that we would use that faith as a muscle, stretch it to accomplish those things that we are trusting the Lord for. He is with us. He is alongside us. We are in unity with His heart on these things because it is His desire to bring salvation to our loved ones. Thank you for listening today. I hope this word will build you up in your spirit and in your faith. We serve a God who will never fail us. Let's rejoice and be glad in Him. Have a great afternoon, and we'll talk to you the next time. Bye for now.
Bye for now.
Thank you, Lord. What a great, mighty promise is making to us. Promises that we can only trust Him for, because He fulfilled His promise. When God began to work with the people of this nation, He put in their heart George Washington and them after all the presidents that came after them. God let them know that the beginning of his plan and purpose was for one nation under God, indivisible, unbeatable, undivided. One nation under God, undivided, where liberty and justice for all, my brothers and sisters, shall be rendered by standing our attention facing the flag with the right hand over their heart. My brothers and sisters, the right hand representing Christ being in their heart. You see how the nations of people been backsliding. But God put in the heart of these people that this nation will be built on his word, Christ-like. Because the United States of America into the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, undivided, with liberty and justice for all. My brother and sister, his promise are ever true. He put it in the heart. I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountain of Israel. The one king shall be king to them all, and there shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided in two kingdoms anymore aboard, God says to his prophet. 2 Samuel 7:23, and one nation on the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to Israel, and to make him a name to do for you great things, fearsome for thy land before thy people, whom thou redeemed to thee from Egypt, from the nation and their gods. 14:16, and it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go out from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of the tabernacle. God has said it. God has planned it from the beginning. He put it in George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, all these people's hearts. My brothers and sisters, Isaiah 66:8, who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. The travail, the trouble, my brother and sister, the pain and suffering brought forth the children, God says. But God was with her, with the children, during this trouble. He never left them. He never forsaken them. My brother and sister, Isaiah 60:22, a little one shall become a thousand, a small one, a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. When will this be, Brother Elvie? It will be in the timing of God. It will be in the timing of the Lord. He knows when. He knows the right time, my brother and sister. Isaiah 49:7, thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despise, to him whom the nation abhor, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes shall worship because of the Lord who is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, he shall choose thee. Praise the Lord. Notice that the nation despised the Lord. Everything God told them to do, repent and seek him, they despised. despised over the years and ended up backsliding. He says, the Holy One, to him whom men despise, he says, to him whom the nation abhors, hate, despise, hate. I don't want to hear it. Keep that away from me. To a servant of rulers, king shall see and arise. Princes shall worship. See, his mercy, says David, endure forever. Even though they despise him, he still have a mercy on them. Because without him, there is nothing we can do. That's what we need to understand. The nation without the Lord are lost. People without the Lord, they're lost. There's no hope for them without Jesus. My brothers and sisters, Ezekiel 37:23, neither shall they defile themselves anymore with idols, nor with the detestable thing, nor with any other transgression. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places where they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so shall they be my people, and I will be their God. Oh, Father, Yahweh, Elohim loves us, loves the nation. So God so loved the world. We heard it so many times, that he gave his only begotten Son, that howsoever believeth in him shall not perish, my brother and sister. His love, agape, endure forever. My brother and sister, he wants to save them. There's no hope without Christ. And David, my servant, shall be king over them. So he's talking about the millennium. These people, And the condition are going into the Great Tribulation, most of them, not all of them, a lot of them. I've seen people like the sand of the sea turning into beasts. But King Nebuchadnezzar, because of his pride, God turned him into a beast for 7 years. He ate grass with the other beasts in the field. And the dew went over him for 7 years, my brother and sister. The morning dew was over him. Rain came over him. His hair, his beard was long. His nails were like the beasts of the field. He was a total werewolf, as we call them. Total beast. But God had mercy on his soul. And one day, after 7 years had passed, King Nebuchadnezzar raised his hand to the heaven and claimed the mercy of God over his life, my brother and sister. And God had mercy on him. And God had them shave him and cut his hand and dress him and shower and dress him and restore him back to the kingdom. My brothers and sisters, hallelujah. God knows the end from the beginning. My brothers and sisters, that is God who has mercy. Without Christ, hallelujah, there's nothing we can do. It is his mercy for the nation. My brothers and sisters, he punished Nebuchadnezzar. Yes, he did. He put them to shame. He made them eat grass like the beasts of the field. He may have all these Indian and people from the world eat grass on the field as a beast for 7 years. But then his mercy is still there because he had it over King Nebuchadnezzar. When we look to God in his mercy, we got to look to what he did, his testimony, what he did with other people, that he destroyed King Nebuchadnezzar after he made him a beast. No. He still had mercy on him. Isn't him the same yesterday, today, and forever? My brother and sister, Jesus Christ is the same. David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. They shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant. When your father have dwelt, they shall dwell therein, even they and the children and the children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever again. My brothers and sisters, he says, this is the way. This is my plan. This is my agenda. This is what I'm going to do, is what God is showing us. This is what I'm going to do with humanity. This is what I'm going to do with the people. This is what will be unfolding right before your eyes. This is what you're going to see that I'm going to do. Yes, I'm going to turn them into beasts. But yes, I'm going to have mercy on them. My brother and sister, do I want to be turned into beasts? No, that's why I'm not taking the vaccine. I'm not taking the COVID-19 vaccine. I don't want to keep it away from me, my children, and my family. And I advise my brother and sister, don't take it. You don't want to be turned into a beast. Don't take it. My brother and sister, my wife heard online, she was telling me that they were saying that after 2 years, those that are taking either the booster or the vaccine, I can't remember which of the two, will be changing, will start dying. She said, a lot of things are going to happen. I don't want no part in that. I don't want my children to have no part of that. Now they begin to go out to children in their school. Okay? They almost have vaccinated all the adults. Now they're going into the children. I believe this is their end. The children belongs to the Lord. Okay? The children belongs to the Lord. And the moment they turn to the children, they are in trouble. My brother and sister, and their destruction will not delay. It will not delay. Sudden destruction, as a woman in travail, God says, is coming upon them. Going after the children of God, the children of the Lord. That's why when the rapture, the departure of the bride happens, a few adults go home. But millions of children disappear. My brother and sister, the accountability is 7 and even more, my brother and sister, in the Lord. It could be more. And God would have mercy on those little ones. And he has shown me in several occasions, one that I can remember so clear, what the rapture happened. The rapture happened. Mother was screaming for the babies and the children. They have brothers and sisters, they were gone. My brother and sister, gone. Gone. Oh, God, they say. They're gone because they knew in the moment the spirit cried out, oh, God. They screamed, oh, God. Yeah, he's the one taking them because they're his. Die for me in my mother womb, David said. It's God who formed us in our mother's womb. Children belongs to him. Remember the Lord said, Lord, the other day I said, a few weeks ago, I said, Lord, no, you are mine, he said to me. Oh, boy. He speaks to you so clear. He formed us. He formed us in our mother's womb. We're his. We're his children. Those babies are his children. And he's taking them home. That's why if you go to heaven now, to the place where the children are, you see millions of them. Millions upon millions of them, and angels are with you taking care of them. Millions of babies you see them playing around and growing without the parents. No parents. No adults. No adults. These people that are aborting them, 6,000 of them every week in New York, those babies are in heaven. Running around right away, walking, speaking. You see babies speaking. Not like here, no, not in heaven. In heaven, They get the power of speech and the knowledge of God. And from little one, their gifts, oh my Lord, they begin to flow in the gift of the Spirit in heaven. And if they want to paint, if they want to play an instrument, whatever they want to do for God, they are encouraged by the Redeemer, the angel. You want to do that for God? Yes, go ahead and do it. And their gifts begin to grow, and they do these things that are amazing in heaven for the glory of God. And they praise him. They praise him. The most beautiful worships comes out of their mouth before God. My brothers and sisters, on earth they could have been out of fornication and much more. In heaven, they're perfect. Remember when I was taken to heaven a few months ago, there was a child, my brother and sister. This, I was there with my brother Milton. And we went there after the Lord showed me him and two prostitutes that we preach on the earth, now we're in heaven, in the glorified body. And I saw them, they were smiling. Oh, with beautiful dresses. My brother Milton and I, we went to this place, and this child had just arrived from the earth. Oh, thank you, Lord. They wanted me to witness the miracle of God, the power of our Creator. And this young girl was like 6 or 7 on the earth when she got blown to pieces in the Middle East. Blown to pieces. I knew that she would nest to a bomb and she was blown to pieces. And there she arrives screaming, my brother and sisters. And brother Milton says to her, fear not, fear not. When she was from the Middle East, she only spoke their language, Salamic. We were speaking to her now in English, my brother and sister, and she was understanding us 100% right away, 100%, but no problem. And Brother Milton was saying, calm down, calm down. You don't need to be afraid in this place. And she was looking at him and looking at me. No, no one can harm you no more. Immediately it came into her that she was in heaven. My brother and sister. And we stretched out my hand and stretched out the hand to her for her to be comforted right away. And she immediately began to calm down and be comforted. When she knew she was in heaven, she knew she could never be harmed again. My brother and sister. Peace was coming all over her. Lord was comforting her. As he said in his words, that we will all be comforted. No more tears, no more pain, no more crying. Because all that will be old. It will be old. The new is joy and peace, everlasting peace, everlasting joy. That's the only thing you're going to know. Because all these things we know now is going to pass away. The old will pass away. And it will be the new as the Lord has promised us. The new. My brothers and sisters, looking at this young girl be a minister right away. My brothers and sisters, she was being comforted by God right away. And Brother Milton was telling her, no one can harm you here no more. No one can harm you here no more. Her body that came up in pieces was coming, came together almost right away. She got her body from God. Right away she entered heaven. When we looked at her, we knew because the Lord wanted me to know how she came into heaven in pieces. Because she was blown up by a bomb in the Middle East. now in heaven, she was a full baby. 6, 7, and she, her body was full, completely put together by God. Only God can put all those many pieces together, my brother and sister. Because it happened while her body, her glorified body right there, my brother and sister, it was amazing to see her and the peace that she was receiving right away. Total comfort. My brother and sister, right away, total comfort. God promised total comfort. No more tears. No more pain, he says. No more. No more. It's all. It will not even come to mind. The old will not even come to mind. My brother and sister, the only thing you and I will remember, I was allowed to learn and see on my own in the millennium when I was walking. At one time, hallelujah, my brother and sister, the only thing I knew was that from this past, we're going to remember only when we spend time with God, when God ministered to us, when he fulfilled his promise, when he spoke to us, when he came to us, the things that we have done in the Lord are the only thing we're going to carry with us. Our relationship with him is the only thing that we're going to carry with us always. And we'll continue growing in that relationship with him. My brother and sister, it's going to be amazing. Hallelujah. The Lord wanted me to see the millennium this week again and see his promise to us. Hallelujah. That come to pass there. Verse 26, moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it should be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them. I will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. Hallelujah. More, hallelujah, is what he's given us. More. More of himself. More of his love. More of his peace. More of his spirit. More of his fire. More of God. Oh, Lord. More. More, more, more. That's the plan of God for you. Hallelujah. Awesome God. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be the God, and they shall be my people. Hallelujah. So when we say that we're going to go speak to God, we will say, I'm going to speak. Excuse me, my brother. Excuse me, my sister. I'm going to go speak with my God. Oh, that is so beautiful. My God, my Lord, my Savior. Hallelujah. I'm going to go speak with my God. Excuse me, I'll be back. When, brother? I don't know. I'll be back. I don't know if I'm coming later, tomorrow, or the day after. I'll be back. Going to go speak with my God. I have an appointment with him. He's waiting for me. Thank you, Lord. Oh, it's going to be so awesome. Awesome to be in his presence forever, where no one can steal our joy or our peace anymore. No one can. My brother and sister, we'll have all the time to talk to him, to listen to him, to hear his heart, to hear his wisdom, his knowledge. Hallelujah. So, Father, so who, if you created us, so who was with you? Were you all alone, Father? Talk to us at that time before you created the angels, before you created us, Father. Were you all alone in creation? And we're going to hear from him like honey dripping over our mouth, the word and the wisdom that will proceed of him, from him himself. Every word is true. And every word that will come out of him will bless us, my brothers and sisters, and will bring us closer to his likeness. Because in his image he made us. And also in his likeness, in his holiness. And he is a spirit. We will be like him, my brothers and sisters. And the more time we spend with him, the more he will change us and transform us into glorious beings of light. We will shine like the star, my brothers and sisters. And eternity is going to reveal to us his plan that he had before this earth was, my brothers and sisters. He's going to reveal to us his mystery. And you'll see these beautiful beings. People that you see now, and you just see a human, a person. It's a beautiful being of light with wings. The wind, they will be flying in front of us. But you were sister so-and-so. You were brother so-and-so. Oh, God had all these mysteries. That's why Jesus said that his gospel will be preached unto all creatures. My brothers and sisters, the beautiful creature of God here, angels and much more, that he made. As he said to Abraham, like the star of heaven, the star of heaven for angels, like the angels in heaven, so would thy seed be, God says to Abraham, like the angels in heaven. All these mysteries that I saw part of it in eternity will be revealed as his bride, a glorious bride, glorious being and angels. Reveal some will march toward for Jesus, die for him. And some is the bride who will come in heaven through the pasture, my brother and sister. The bride says goodbye in the pasture because the bride is special. That's why she's the pasture. That's why she says goodbye. Hallelujah. He says to her bride in Isaiah, come into thy chamber until the indignation passes. The bride comes into the chamber beautifully. When I was allowed to go into the chamber with my brothers and sisters, I saw her dressing for the occasion, for the wedding celebration. The dress for the sister and the clothing for the brother was amazing beautiful. In one part of one in the chamber, I saw my clothing for the weddings. It was made to my sight in my glorified body. Perfectly made. I knew that God had those clothing made for me in heaven for this occasion. When I saw everyone's clothing, I also knew that the Lord had them all them made for the occasion of the wedding. For a long time. When I say long, I'm talking about beyond what we know. The Lord had all these clothing made for his bride. Why? Because he knew that we will be in that wedding. My brother and sister, the Lord knows his bride. I know my sheep, he says. Hallelujah. But we also know him. Hallelujah. He has chosen us from the world, my brother and sister. In 2014, hallelujah, the Lord showed me many are going to leave you, mostly men, and show me a few brothers, but then the most of the rest were all sisters, I share. And the Lord says, look, all of these other people left you and show me them. But I have these that are going to stay with you in the Lord Yahweh. And I saw them. And when I look now in the chat room and I look at the brothers and sisters, you know what I see? The same thing Jesus told me it will be. He showed me the people that I will meet and see here in the Lord Tower. Back then, they were not here. But the Lord says to me, I'm going to bring them here. And you will serve me. And they will hear my word. They will receive my word, Jesus says to me, through you that I'm going to give you, to give to them. Because I'm going to give you the word for them. And I bow my head, says the Lord. And exactly that he said, it's been so. I'm amazed how accurate his word is in his revelation. 100%. He never is wrong. He is never wrong. Everything he had told me that would happen had happened. My brother and sister, word by word, everything he has shown me in regard to this ministry, I have seen it with my own eyes. After years ago, he told me, my brother and sister, will be so. The Lord is so amazing. He is never wrong. He will reveal to us the future from the beginning. And we will see it. We'll be amazed. Everything has been as he has said it. My brother and sister, when he showed me the world in 2014, he showed me, hallelujah, like a valley of dead bones. And I was thinking while he was showing it to me, what does it mean? How is it that in the last day, I don't see a great church anymore? But he's showing it to me as a valley of dead bones, my brother and sister. How is that? Hallelujah. As he can say, and he caused me to pass by them, run about, and behold, there was many people open in an open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Jesus showed me the world in 2014 that it was going to be like this, like a dead valley. And I began to see United States and the world like it was dead before him. And the earth was like a dead valley, like with these dead people. What does that mean? How is that becoming that way? And he showed me that it will be like this now, but it will keep going this way.
90 seconds.
And it's exactly how he showed me. I didn't understand the revelation back then, but now I heard him, but now I can see what he was telling me. He knew they were going to take the vaccine. He knew that people will make the poor choice around the world. Because if you're not seeking Jesus, humanity has become blind for not seeing him. He is our eyes, and he is our ears. And he has told us that without him, there's nothing we can do. That's why the nation and the world has fallen into doing nothing without him. Shalom, shalom, my brother and sister. I believe tomorrow Sister Carla is going to be on live. My brother and sister, shalom, shalom to each and one of you. Hallelujah. Continue to repent and seek the Lord. I hope the Lord has spoken to you as he has to me. Shalom.
I worship you.
Big steps.
I worship you.
and scenery in your life. And now the mountains shall be removed and hindrances shall be removed. And things are turning even now, for the goodness of God shall be manifested. So lift up your hands and lift up your eyes, for the glory of God shall be revealed, and there shall be an increase